You ready? Okay. So I'm a river boat. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines up from the bottom, top of the key. I'm at B. Okay. I'm a river boat with a molly because kusuv. If not for that, the Torah said this is brought down in a pasuk. Not the Torah. It's brought down in a pasuk in Yeshaya. E.F. Shalom Umar, it would not be possible to say this. It says, by Yemahu on that day. Now, by the way, just for the record, the Gemara is going to be discussing, now that Sancheriv lost the war, because they all got killed during the battle, Sancheriv was besieging Yerushalayim, and overnight, Amalek came and smote all of his army generals and everything, and he wasn't able to drive the Yidden out of Yerushalayim. So now, came the next morning, and by Yemahu Yigal Hashem, it says like this. What happened now to Sancheriv after this defeat? So the Pasuk says by Yemahu on that day, Yigal Hashem Betar Haskira Be'Ivri Nahar. The Melech Ashur as a Rosh Rishar Haragolim Regam as a Zarkain Tispe. It means like it's in that day Hashem. It means Hashem here. The question is if it means Hashem himself or a Malach. That's a Machlokes in the Mefarshim. But he's going to take a hired razor and he's going to shave off the kings of Ashur, which is Sancheriv. His head is here and the hair from his feet and the hair and his beard will get destroyed. This little sounds like Sancheriv is going to get a haircut from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it sounds like. Now, the Gemara explains. The Gemara darshens out. Also, Kuchibrichu. Hashem came, the Idmile Kigavar Sabin, dressed up like an old man. Now, Zishalev was really Hashem, or it was in a dream. Some sheet is told that it was really a Malach, not Hashem.
Wait,
yes.
Wait a minute, what's the thought? That Hashem was really him?
What?
Isn't that a different religion?
It has to be a
Malachi.
Is that?
It's a Machlokes. I'm telling you, some hold it was in a dream that he saw an old man, which was Hashem, in his dream. Uh-huh. Hashem just he didn't know that Hashem, whatever that means. Some say it was just a Malach doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it means basically that this old man, whichever it was, came to Sancheriv. And Omalei said, when you can come to the kings of the east and the west, that's the Ninu Levanayu, you took their children, their sons, and they got killed because they took them out to battle and they not returning. Okay? My Amaluhu. So, what are you going to tell them? Basically, he has to go back to where he came from and explain that he got decimated. So, this old man, whether it be Hamalach, Hashem, a dream, whatever the case may be, if what are your plans? You know, how do you plan on facing the music? Because when he left, he was haughty. He was arrogant. He didn't think he was going to lose the battle. So the question was, how are they going to go back and face the music? Tamilu, Sancheriv said back to this old man, you're right. I don't know. I was thinking about it. I was wondering, what am I going to say? You couldn't think of a good excuse. Amalei, hechin avid. So he said, so two, tell me, give me an eitzah. You have an idea? So Sancheriv was looking for an idea now. He had to go back and break the news.
He's asking a barber.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't know he's a barber yet. He's asking his old man. Okay, he didn't become a barber yet. Tomorrow's going to tell us what happened. So he said, hechin avid. So Amalei, he said, look, zil v'shoni nafshcha. Go and change your looks. If you change your looks, if they don't recognize you, they won't ask you anything. They'll think Sancheriv got killed in the war. When you'll come back, you'll just be a regular fellow living. And you won't have to explain anything. Because they'll think, yeah, their sons got killed, and Sancheriv got killed too. That's not so bad. It's only if you come back alive and all of them were dead, then you got a problem. So this old man's advice was, change your looks. Disguise yourself. So he answered him, how am I going to do that? I look like Sancheriv. What am I going to do to myself to make me not look like Sancheriv? So the old man said, Amalei, feel icily mispera with exact. So he says, go get me a scissors, and I'll cut your hair off. I'll give you a bald haircut, and no one will recognize you. So the Gemara says, Mehech Aisi. She says, I know Mehech Aisi. Where am I going to get it from? Where am I going to get scissors? So Cherif says, tell me, okay, good, I'll get a scissors. Where do I get one from? Now you're laughing, because you have the same problem as he's got, a sickle, and like we all got it. Why is the Gemara going through this whole story? Wait, we're going to get to the rest of the story. Then we're going to, I asked someone this morning, I was discussing it. You haven't made a potential thought on this. So let's just finish off today's Gemara to where we're going to get to, and then we'll discuss this concept. The Gemara says, where should I get scissors from? He's sitting outside, camping outside Yerushalayim, in the middle of the forest, desert, or somewhere, and you tell him to go get scissors. Where's he going to get scissors from? Yeah.
Knives?
I don't know. See, he asked him for his scissors. So he says, where's he going to get his scissors from? So where am I going to get his scissors from?
He didn't have supplies or, I don't know.
No, supplies. I guess he didn't have scissors.
Swiss Army knife.
No. I don't know. He didn't have scissors. Look, again, just to recap. The Gemara brings down that our Kodesh Baruch Hu, so there's a pasuk that he's going to come, he's going to shave Sancheriv, his hair on his head, his hair on his feet, and his beard. The Gemara is going to explain this pasuk. The Gemara wants to know that what happened was Hashem, something was a malach, something was in a dream, approached Sancheriv and said, now that you lost the war, how are you going to go back to where you came from and explain to everybody why the children got killed? How are you going to face the music? And he said, I don't know, what should I do? So this old man, who's dressed like an old man, says, look, you should change the way you look. Get me a scissors and I'll shave your head, and they won't recognize you. They'll think that Sancheriv died also. You're just somebody else. So yes, where do I get the scissors from? Hech Aisi. Second line, last word. Amalei, Ayalahu Beisha. Go to that house over there on the hill. Go to the house over there. So Aisi. You'll get over there with scissors. Ask for them for a scissors. Other, he went to the house. Shechino, Asoi, Malchei Hashoyes in Maluki Gavri, and Malchei Hashoyes came to the house and made themselves look like people. Father called Tachni Kashaisa, they were grounding some sort of a kernel over there, palm kernel of some sort. There were grounding kernels in the house. Amalei Havalu Mishpura, and he said, give me a scissors. I need a scissors. Amalei, so these people said, who are Malachim, first put in your work, ground some kernels for us, and then we'll give you your scissors. So he spent time grinding, and then he gave him the scissors. At the Asa, until he came back to where the old man was waiting for him, it got dark. It was now dark, and he wasn't able to see to do the haircut properly. So Amalei, Zil Aisi Nura. So go get to make a fire. Make a fire so we can see what we're doing. Also, Aisi Nura, he went and lit up a fire. Bahadi Dekanav Chule, while he was blowing on the fire to try to help it grow, to fan the flames, Itli Be Nura Bedikne. The fire caught on to the beard of Sancheriv. So Ozel Gazel Reishave Dikne. So he went quickly and he cut off his beard and his head and his hair. He cut off all the hair on his head. So basically, gave him. He cut all his hair off. It was getting burnt, so he cut it off quickly in this way.
Sancheriv did it himself.
What?
Sancheriv did it himself.
No. This old man went and did it to him. Whatever. However it ended up. So what happened? Amru, Hainu Dixiv, this is what it says, the Gamesh HaZokin Tifsa. This is why it said in the Pasuk that his beard would be destroyed. Amru Papa. So Papa says, Hainu Dam Yechi, this is what people say, it's a famous saying, Jerusa La'amoi Shapirle, Itli Le Nura Bedikne, V'loshova Chuchemine. What?
Who just said that yesterday?
What did you just say?
This famous phrase.
Yeah? When did you say it?
No.
Oh, you mean it wasn't that famous, you mean?
Right.
Well, the famous phrase is that if you want to have fun with an Aramean fellow and he lets you already shave his head, so you'll probably be able to get away with shaving your beard until you'll never cease from having amusement. That means you can have a lot of fun with this at this guy's expense. It's a famous saying that if he lets you start, then forget it, all bets are off. You can get away with anything. It's a saying. And the mice is what happened over here was he ended up having all his head, all his hair cut off. So what happened? After he was finished, okay, now he's ready to go back. He went and he found a plank of wood that was from the Teva of Noach. Omar, and he said, I knew a lekar, Rabba, he was talking to the board. You must be the god of Noach that saved him from the Teva. Omar, so he said to the board, if I, Sancheiv, could go out to war and be victorious, I'll give you my two kids. I'll shecht my two kids for you. He had two sons, because we learned before that he was survived with two sons. He said, I'll shecht them both. I'll kill them both in your honor. If you, the god of Noach, this piece of wood, could save him and help him be victorious. Shamu b'nai. So what happened was his children heard this. So look at Lou. So this is how the Gemara is describing how is it that Sancheiv came to meet his death. Through this story, through this incident, we now see how that happened, that his son ended up killing him. This is the pasuk that we mentioned before. He was bowing down to this wood, his two children, he called Becheriv. They killed him. This is how we now understand how Sancheiv met his death. Very interesting, no? That he wanted to kill his two sons, and they went and they killed him instead. Now, now, the things that we want to understand over here, there are many things in this Gemara we really have to understand, but on a very easy level, we were discussing the last couple of times, what's the purpose? What's the Gemara telling me? I have to know this whole back and forth? What is the purpose of the back and forth? So the simple answer is, yeah, the Navi is saying things to tell us what happened. But on a little bit deeper level, we have to realize that the Midah Keneged Midah over here was that Sancheiv came to belittle HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His whole attitude was, forget it, we can just take that one brick and we'll wipe them out. The attitude was a priestess to Hashem. So the Gemara has to show us that his, the Midah Keneged Midah was that he didn't just die. But first he was belittled with the whole shaving situation, and ultimately his own kids killed him. In other words, to show the flip side, that there's a Midah Keneged Midah, a din, that even Sancheiv is going to have to, that Sancheiv is, so it's a limit to, in general, that you have a lot of matzavim where people are, in general, they're not limit on this, but there is this concept of, like, there's going to be a day of reckoning. You have to deal with that day of reckoning at some point, and you have to figure out you know, hey, what's going to be? It's not a simple thing. It's not a push at the zach. It's complicated. So, that's in not such a deep way, though, but that's a simple understanding of what the Gemara is doing over here. Now, the Gemara afterwards is going to go on to show another case of the case with Avraham Avinu. What happened, you know, that is similar in his war. Okay?
So, if I understand it correctly, we're learning that this is Sanhedrin's day of reckoning.
That's what the Gemara is doing. He's showing that when it came time for him to get killed, it happened in a specific way with all of the nuances and details to show the you were being condescending towards Hashem, belittling, and acting like you nothing could happen to you. The fate that came to him was of such a caliber.
Who knows how many years he did Chilul Hashem? He goes to attack Jews.
Well, this doesn't mean that he's finished. Who knows what he's going through in the next world?
We're learning this day of reckoning is not so scary.
It's not the day of reckoning. It's how he got killed. It shows that there's what will happen after. He might be in Gehenna forever and ever. That's
what's
scary.
What are we supposed to learn from this, Gemara?
I don't know what we're supposed to learn from it, but I can tell you what Liman we see from it. What we see from it is, and it's brought down in the Mefarshim here in Maral, other places, that there is the concept of even in the way the person's going to die, is going to be belittling, and destroying his family, whatever family was left. It's such his own children ended up killing him. The busha that he had to go through, the beard getting burnt and then cut off, like the whole thing is a very, not a good way to go. It shows us a certain, what's the word?
Tamid Chachamim went way better ways than this guy.
Yeah, it's not only way. Again, the Gehenna that he might be getting forever and ever and ever.
I'm just asking from the words of the Gemara, what are we supposed to get from it? We're learning that it's just,
The simple answer way is to understand that
he felt bad that day. He had a really bad hair day. No pun intended.
Yeah.
So okay, gosh. No. But that's the bad way to go.
No, it's not the bad way to go. Really, it's the mitzvah. You have to understand.
Disgrace. He had
disgrace. What Sancheiriv had to go through, this disgrace of Sancheiriv.
He's the king. He had to go. Right. He had to work. He had to earn to borrow a pair of scissors. He had to
rent a pair of scissors. He had to grind the wheat. He had to get to hold whatever. He went,
you said he had to go through this day for like 10 years. I could hear it, but I hear what you're saying, but what we aren't
tuned into is that we're talking about the king. We're talking about the person who had maybe billions of people. Like, I'm trying to think of a mushroom to understand it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We don't see he was so embarrassed, because even when we find the piece of wood afterwards, he's like, you know, nothing happened to me. I'm back myself. You know, give me a victory, and I'll, you know. It doesn't seem like.
But that's the koyach nishon. That's the ability for someone to blind themselves to miss the boat. Someone told me something interesting this morning. It's very interesting. It's kind of like it's a similar thing, but on a way different topic. But who was the first murderer in the existence of the world?
Cain.
How'd that happen? Is it possible to say that there's a Rechach in the house of other Marisim? How do you understand that?
Temporary insanity.
What?
Temporary insanity.
So, David Pravalsky says that he was sick out of Russia. Can't it be that Russia would be brought up in the house? What happened? What happened was that usually a Rechach, when someone murders someone, something happens to him in Olam Hazeh. Someone hurt him in Olam Hazeh, got him angry in Olam Hazeh about something that he lost out or caused him harm or whatever. So he got angry, he went and he killed him. The kind problem was is that he lost out in Olam Haba. That's where he went wrong. His desire to be close to Hashem was so great that when his thing wasn't accepted, he couldn't handle it anymore. And he went and he killed the what he perceived as the reason for his mincha not being accepted. And it goes back and forth how he was punished, what that Lamaisi what he did was wrong. Even though he came from such an angle. But how could he kill his brother? He wanted to get close to Hashem. You're not going to get close to Hashem by killing your brother. And yet that's what he did. How did that work? The ability to not see and see at the same time. Yeah, Shachar just got decimated. He lost everything. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't even know how to go back and face the music. He was just embarrassed that everything shaved off his head, his beard, and everything. But this thing was still ingrained in him. Okay, now we go fight one more battle and win and start all over, like rebuild. Bigger and better. And a plank of wood, the whole thing. The ability to, you almost like lose your mechira, so to speak. How did Pari do what he did? Does that make any sense? Even if you make sense of everything, which you can't, but you fool yourself, his Chartumim did something, he was having work done for him, so if, even though he didn't understand the Barad and the Choshech, he didn't understand it, but Afapiken, he had so much work being built, he just couldn't let the workers go. Finally, Makav Chorus came and he realized we got problems here, so he got rid of them finally. So what changed his mind that made him decide to run right after him? And then he's running after them, and he sees the whole water stand up in aisles. It should have been enough to stop him in his tracks. Instead, he picks up speed. Doesn't make any sense. You lose the Kaycha Bechira. And then Hashem is just using you for an ultimate goal of the Kiddushim Shemayim of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim in the preparation of the nation for the Kabbalah Torah. So there are chizbeis why Hashem is doing what he's doing. But Lamaisa, think about it. How could he take a go and bow down to wood and make a whole Torah over here? How could he do that? He is lost.
I don't know what the lesson is.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, so that means a person loses his bechira. He gets to a point where, even though everything fell apart at the seams, in his mind, I'm still king. I'm still going to go fight. I get your beard burnt off. All right, that was an hour ago. Now I'm going to go fight. That's the mentality, the koyach of being blinded.
So that's a lesson. The lesson of Gemara is being blinded.
That is a lesson, not the lesson. There are many lessons from Agadah to Gemara and many more Farshim. There's one thing we can understand. Another thing we understand is the concept of Midah Kenegad Midah. It wasn't necessary to go through all of the details other than to say, look, you are Mafkis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you, king, you're going to be brought down to the lowest level of all different inyan.
Is one of the lessons is that we can have fun with people that...
No, that was a saying that with Aramim, with these kinds of people, if you could pull such a prank on them, so you could pull any prank on them. There was such a saying. Because they're the kind you like being the butt end of a joke. Whatever it is. It was such a saying in the Gemara.
And Hashem and Malachi Amalbeis had to get in on the joke.
It's not getting on the joke. It's just they were doing what they were doing. There is a saying that came because of that. You have to realize these Agadah to Gemaras, a lot of these Gemaras, most of these Gemaras, need to have a lot of metaphors in them. There's a lot of in between the lines. A lot. Right. And I'm telling you the simple understandings without getting into a couple of things or whatever. Without getting into any things that are more difficult to comprehend, there are things that are much more difficult to comprehend. I'm trying to stay with things that we could relate to. We could relate to this concept. We could be so bent on doing something, the whole world just fell apart around the Khayyab, and he's still bowing down to this thing, trying to go win another war. He don't have no army anymore. He has no generals anymore. He doesn't have anything anymore. And yet he's still doing it. They say the story over in the World War II that there was at the end of the war, the more he lost it, the more he tried to go fight. The more open up another front, open up another front. And that's how he lost the war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all the calls. He just uses these people as puppets. Lev Malachim Yisrael Miyad Hashem. The whole thing is just Hechatimsa, a mechanism. HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get an end result that he wants. And there are limudim along the way. Some of them we have a better understanding of, and some we have less of an understanding. But Lamaisa, we understand the basic understanding of the world we have. And these are the limudim,
right?
Well, that's one thing you see, the concept that's brought down in the Mefarshim. Another thing you see over here is this ability that after all said and done, he still decided he's going to go and find a piece of wood. Doesn't make sense. You understand it? No.
And the way
we're going to understand it right now is that he was not doing something that logically makes sense. It was his mind was, I'm such a strong king that I could go to war and fight everything. That was what was still on his front burner. That was what was running his day.
Running his day for all
his
life.
Right, and therefore, even though he had setback after setback after setback, and he would put down and basically belittle, that did not change the DNA in his brain to say that I'm able to conquer anything I want. That was the thought process. It's called arrogance.
It's like he was putting his hope in this piece of wood.
I don't know how they do it when the Davening is Avodah Zarah, and then they go and they get their inspiration to go to fight.
The Marsha says that he knew that everything in Milamata has a connection to some source of Milamala.
Yeah, I saw it in Marsha.
He was trying to tap into right. that muzzle.
I didn't understand that.
And he said that the same way he thought Bataos, that Noach, when he brought a korban after leaving the Teva, use this wood or
to figure out how to save himself.
So he wanted to tap into this spiritual energy into
in the physical piece of wood.
In this piece of wood. He says Bataruso.
Yeah, but I don't understand. See the reason why I didn't say it.
Therefore bring his son.
But he wants to make a sacrifice after he gets the
Torah. No, the reason why I didn't understand is because I don't understand the Milamata the
everything is connected.
Yeah, but I didn't understand it's all connected, but I don't really have a good understanding of the whole concept of Davar Desires. You know what I'm saying? So he's trying to create this wood, how he could. I have a hard time conjuring up what was going through his mind. Mashiach does say this, that something physical is what they believed in, thinking that it somehow attained some spirituality or some spiritual power. But I wasn't able to digest and understand it well. This Milamata, Milamala, the whole concept. It was a little bit not foreign to me, but you understand what's bothering me about it. I don't know. I'm not so, I'm not so sure. But, it's brought down in the Ali Shar from Shlomo Volbo. It could be connected. He says, by... Let's could be this is a mile if you understand it better. How does a person get Jesus? These are midos. Zahirus is when a person is careful in what he does and his decisions. And how does a person attain Jesus, which means in Missouri, you do something with enthusiasm, idealism. So the Sister Sharm brings down that The main way to attain Zeus is through Torah. Torah reveals the days of Zeus. The Torah has a koyach of a power of creating a connection to Zeus. Zeus means that before you make a decision, right or left, up or down, black or white, you weigh it, you understand it, you think about it, so that your decision is true, is accurate. Zeus is not possible. You can't possibly make, without Zeus, there's a very big chance that the decision making process is going to be altered in a very bad way. He brings down that it's like a sumo, a blind person walking on a ledge. And what's the chances he's going to get across? Very little. So what does he do? He makes sure he doesn't get on the ledge. Or he goes on with somebody who's able to see. That means the Zahirus, his decision is driven through through a lens of reality, of accuracy, of clarity, that he's doing the right thing. That's what Zahirus means. And you can't get, the person can't get Zahirus, the Mishnah Shem says back above, that in order to get Zahirus, you need Zahirus. But he breaks it up and he says that Zahirus is an Indian in the Somera. Zahirus is a thing in Asi Toif. It means that Zahirus is in not messing up, not doing the wrong thing, not seeing things wrong, not being blinded by your Negius. Zahirus are your approaches towards Asi Toif, doing good. That's how Mr. Shem breaks it down, these 2 minutes. Okay? Now, when you think about it for a second, Zahirus creates the clarity of mind to do the right thing. Torah is mevi'el de Zahirus. Without Torah, you don't have Zahirus. Another thing the Mishnah Shem brings down, that even after you want to get Zahirus, if not for that Hashem is helping, lo yachol. You can't do it. You need Hashem to be there constantly. Just like we said, the Yetzer Hara is very strong, the Gemara in Kedushin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ezer, he helps us out. Not for that Hashem would help us out, the Yetzer Hara would win us every single time. Gemara in Kedushin. So we see that the Nekudah says in Mishnah Zasharim that a person needs to have clarity in his approach to life, in his decisions, in his thought process, in his actions, is the Zahirus. And that's only attainable and acquired through Torah, / understanding that Hashem has to do it for you, and realizing without Hashem you're not going to be able to get it. So, what is the flip side of this? The flip side, someone who doesn't have Torah, someone who doesn't believe that Hashem is helping him, if anything, belittles Hashem. What is going to be with his decision-making process? There are 3 things that the Mishnah Sharm brings down that messes up your ability to have Zahirus. One of them is Tirda, being busy. One is Chayk V'Alashin, Latzin, taking everything lightly. And the 3rd thing, the Mishnah Sharm, is Chevro. Parakei, Mishnah Sharm. So what do you see? Take a guy who doesn't have a Kadosh Baruch Hu by him, who doesn't have Torah by him, who has the Chevra, who has all of them, so the Zahirus doesn't exist by such a person. The Zahirus is the main ingredient in a person's decisions, thoughts, actions, and everything. You take that out, that part, that ingredient out, you don't get started. Is it any wonder now how he could go and bow down to a piece of wood? There's nothing driving it, which there's no seichel, there's no Torah, there's no Akash Baruch, there's no anything. When you put it in that respect, the way the Mishnah Sharm sets it up, how me and you, how we approach our decisions. We can't understand how you could bow down to the beast after all of this. It's one thing if you're in the middle of winning all the wars and it was battling and everybody's getting destroyed. And then he goes and he runs to the piece of wood to say, okay, give me more kachas. Okay, you can make such a mistake and think like that. But in such a situation, that's shayach. That's why we don't understand it. Because we're working with the Mishilas Hasharim, as the Hebrews and Zerizas, we understand what we're supposed to understand. The clarity makes it impossible for us to understand something so ridiculous. But someone who's coming without all of these things, is it a wonder now why it's able to happen? He's missing everything that's needed to avoid it. So it's partial that this is what's going to happen. Think it over. It makes it easier for us to understand why we don't understand it. Because there's nothing there that can be derived. There's no clarity by this. It doesn't make sense. Because he's missing all the different ingredients that are necessary to. You understand? And the truth of the matter is, look, that we have it ourselves, the mistakes that we make. Constantly, we make things, we do things wrong. If we really trace it back, we'll realize that there was lacking clarity. We weren't grounded well. Something came and messed up we have to recalibrate ourselves because we weren't thinking straight. Kids got sent home from school today. A certain elementary school, I'm not going to say which one in the neighborhood. Not my kid. His father came to me, he was having a conniption. Kid was hungry. So he complained to his Rebbe he was hungry. Again, take it with a grain of salt, because I didn't hear both sides of the story. I only heard one side. So you always have to take it with a bucket of salt. The Rebbe told the kid, call your house, and ask them if he'd come home to eat something. Nobody home. The Rebbe said, okay, no problem. Here's a note, show it to your parents, go home. And no one's home. The kid came, no one was home, couldn't get into the house. 10 years old, fifth grade. So he's milling around for a half hour, 45 minutes. The Rebbe did try calling the father. The father was in the middle of giving a shiur someplace, so he couldn't answer his cell phone. Mother doesn't have a cell phone. Couldn't call the mother. She was out doing errands. And the mother finally comes home from errands some 45 minutes later and sees the kid hanging around. What are you doing here? Oh, yeah, Rebbe said I should give it his note and I come home and eat something. The mother took a look. The note said that the parents sign permission that our son, Pliny, has permission from now on, whenever he's hungry, to be able to come home during the day and eat. It was the way the Rebbe felt telling off the parents. That was the way he decided, that's the only way I could understand it. I tried the whole day trying to figure it out. The Rebbe felt it was an avla, I guess, or whatever. Unless the Rebbe was being sincere and just wants, this kid is hungry, maybe the kid ate breakfast. I don't know. I can't make sense of it. I'm trying the whole day to make sense of it. And the mother called the father, the husband. The husband was hysterical. Calls me up. He knows me. He says, what do you do in such a case? What do I do? I want to go down there. I want to. I said, what do you want to do? I don't know what I want to do.
That's how it's done here.
Right. So for like an hour, we spent talking to each other, trying to figure it out. And we retraced the steps. And we realized, sometimes you can be frustrated, you can do things, you can say things, you can get to a point where if you try to look back, you don't even know how you got to such an irrational point. How did I get here? Now that's what us, who we learned Torah, we believe in Hashem and everything. Take a guy like Sancheirov, who thought he was God. Is it a chiddush now anymore how we could do something like this? I think now we're starting to understand a little bit why we're not going to understand it that well. And we're just going to have to understand it. You understand what I'm saying? a little bit.
Somebody wants to take his kid out of the school.
No. I'm talking about some chair. You get it? He doesn't know what to do with his kid. I don't know what the pshat is. You know what the pshat is? You get your... My mission is on the kid. The Rebbe felt...